Well, hello, this is Becky Harrington Davis, and I'm here interviewing Neil Marsh, who plays Porik and does audio engineering.
Hello.
So, Neil, why don't you start with the silly story of how you got rolled into Second Shift?
Yeah, well, okay. I've been a sound designer for a theater at first, which is a Somerville community theater. And a couple of years ago, we were doing a show, and one of our tech director, or whatever her title is, had to call in somebody to be the stage manager for one night because the stage manager was ill. And it was this chick named Julia, and all of a sudden I hear this voice that says, "Hey, aren't you the Chicken Heart guy?" In reference to my radio theater group's production of Chicken Heart. I'm like, yeah. And she goes, "Well, I'm in this like audio drama thing, and it's really cool, and it's a fantasy drama podcast, and you really ought to listen to it. It's called secondshiftpodcast.com. You really ought to go listen to it." Next day I showed up. "Have you listened yet?" Next day I showed up. "Have you listened yet?" Next day I showed up. "Have you listened?" And so on and so forth for about 2 weeks until I finally had a chance to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. The rest of the story.
Yes.
Yeah, so I got hooked on it and was really interested in it. And somewhere along the line, I got an email from this Julia chick. She's going to kick me soon. Saying, "Hey, now's your chance to get really involved. They're casting our first villain." And she included the script for the audition part. I thought, okay. Why not? I could do that. I thought I could do the accent. So I sort of recorded the lines with the accent and without the accent. And
You wish to remain anonymous.
I wish to remain, yes. I asked Julia to submit them anonymously.
And we were all very confused and saying, "Who the hell is this strange person?"
Who is this John Doe?
Yeah.
Well, I had met Andrea before, and I just didn't want there to be any favoritism or anything. I just I don't know, I was being silly.
You just automatically assumed you'd be the favorite.
No, but I didn't want that to have the advantage of, saying, "We know this guy, we should give him this part, even if he sucks." So I get this email forwarded from Julia that says, from Andrea that says, okay, it's time for John Doe to fess up, have him call me. So I called her. We were chatting on the phone for a little bit, and I said, "Well, we have met before." And she goes, "We have?" And I said, "Yeah, before you moved, we had dinner with Julia." Uh-huh. She's like, "Oh, it's you. Oh, well, I don't have to give you all this spiel because we had already talked." But she was giving me the talk.
Yeah.
And of course, what came of that was that I thought she was just chatting with me to find out more about me before deciding between me and the other person who had auditioned for the part.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until the next day when Brandon called me and said, "Can you be at the recording?" And I was like, "Huh?" He's like,
"Yeah.
Didn't Andrea tell you got the part?" And I said, "No." He goes, "Oh, we're recording tomorrow." Okay.
But then at the same time, you were like,
I got the part. So I'm dumping around the restaurant. I'm going, we're at the restaurant. I'm bouncing around the restaurant. I'm like, I got the part. We record tomorrow. Yeah. And so we got to meet you for the first time mm-hmm. the next day, and I'm sitting here shaking like a leaf and trying to read my parts and get the accent down. I can't hold the voice. And it was a very interesting experience.
Yeah.
And of course I broke my glasses the day before as well. I had to run around and get replacements. Nice. Before I've got to have these tomorrow because I got this recording session and I can't see without them. It was wild.
So, as by far the most experienced person in audio drama, whereas pretty much everyone else in the main cast had never done anything with audio drama before, how do you think our show rates up?
It's interesting because I get people asking me about audio drama, and I get a lot of people who talk with me about old-time radio. And while I'm a big fan of old-time radio and all of its contributions and the amazing things they were able to do with it, I'm actually a bigger fan and much more interested in modern audio drama, stuff from about the 1970s onward. which is a very different style of storytelling. And actually, the thing that impressed me the most about Second, I'll be honest, when I listened to the first episode, it was a little hard to get into the characters. It could have been just that I was not focused when I was listening to the first episode, but I went through to the second episode, and the point where it all came together for me was the Draenor scene. I was so blown away by your performance in that scene that it just made the entire show click for me. And after that, I just kept listening, and episode after episode after episode, mm-hmm. I just could not get enough of this story. There was something about that scene that made it all click. And then I finally, when I got to think about it more, what I decided really impressed me the most about the show was the way in which the dialogue is so conversational that if you listen to a lot of old-time radio and even a lot of the modern audio drama that's made, there is still a certain amount of melodrama in line delivery. And in a lot of cases, that's normal, because if they're comedies or if they're short stories or adaptations or the settings are things of the nature that lend to sort of melodramatic portrayal, that's one thing. But these were just like, these are three friends who've been transported from another world and thrown down into the midst of a bunch of other friends. And all the conversation is just very natural and conversational. And I attribute that to the writers and the actors and the way in which they make the conversations work together. Mm-hmm. Second Shift's writing is what sets it above pretty much any other currently made audio drama series that I have listened to.
It's quite a compliment.
It's true. I think that I was just really impressed by the way that Brandon and John managed to write the whole first season.
Mm-hmm.
And then adding Missy for the second season just really opened up the whole epic nature of the writing. Every time we sit down to look at a new script, I'm blown away by the writing that these guys have managed to achieve, and the way in which all the cast members are able to structure dialogue and all the input that they have into the rewriting of scenes to make a bit of dialogue sound more like Mike would say, or mm-hmm. more like what Catherine would say. And that's what appealed to me with reading the lines for Porik in mm-hmm. that initial audition, was I liked the character. I liked the idea of, here's somebody who is not me, very much not me, who is thoroughly convinced that his way is right and reasons it logically.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a fundamentalist of his beliefs. He is not a zealot in any way. He's very logical mm-hmm. about what he believes. I personally think that he's wrong myself, think that his worldview is wrong, but it was a great chance to play somebody who is not me and who's playing a character that is not a mustache twirling villain.
So I'm very curious, getting back to how we relate, how Second Shift goes into your kind of audio drama world. I know that you're somebody who talks about the show a lot and is very proud of the show. And, you know, I'm wondering, I know Andrea's pickup line is, so do you like Joss Whedon? When she's talking about the show. And so I'm wondering, if you're talking about the show to people, what's your pickup line?
That's good. That's really good. I don't think I have a particular pickup line, though I think it depends on the person I'm talking to.
Sure.
I often use the, if you like Buffy, if you like uh-huh. that type of storytelling, you will love this show, where the characters are the central focus and the story can be strong and intense and very interesting, but it's always about how the characters
mm-hmm.
relate to the story that's being told. I also use the example of the new Doctor Who as a description, because a lot of the Buffy fans went over to the new Doctor Who series, because again the characters and the writing are very similar in that it's about the characters and how they deal with the situations they're in. Yeah, so I mean, it's like if you like Buffy or if you like sword and sorcery fantasy, several of the people in my group have enjoyed the Erisia performances because what they get, though they themselves have not been following the show, what they get out of the live performances is there's the magic and the sword and sorcery issue aspect of the show, of the storytelling that appeals to them in the one-off, as a one-off story. So yeah, it depends on who I'm talking to as to how I'll approach the saying, hey, there's this thing that I think you should listen to.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking to Neil Marsh, and this is Becky Harrington Davis, and we're signing off. Thank you very much, Neil.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The money should be in your account tomorrow.